breaks. A chance to show if you've got what it takes. Give it your best and you're on your way. Let the big band play.
This is Offstage and On the Air, Act 4, Scene 79. Me, I'm Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined by my co-host, the lovely, the talented, and the very tired, Miss Nicole Shiro. You're listening to us on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial. We stream live at KOOP.org. Each week, we look at theater from so many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Stay with us. Should be a blast. It is Monday, November 15th, and this is the second show of our fourth season and our return to Monday's lineup. What a program we have today. On today's show, boxing takes the stage at UT with the original work, Fight. We have the playwright and one of the performers of the show right here on the program. We'll also air our interview with Eric Alden, who's the casting department, or who is with the casting department of Cirque Dreams Illumination. And finally, we have the director and the cast from Bale, now playing at the Salvage Vanguard. All that with news and views of the world of theater, Austin, New York, Pittsburgh, Sheboygan, and beyond. Stick with us, we're going to have fun. You're alive, I'm alive, and I'll show you why I'm alive, so alive. Nicole Shiro.
Hello, Lisa Sheps.
How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, my roommate in college was from Sheboygan.
I did not know that. Sheboygan is underrated.
Actually, I enjoyed Sheboygan. We went to go visit her parents a few times.
Who doesn't like Sheboygan?
Hey.
So, do you recognize that piece of music that we were playing?
Actually, I do.
Have you seen the show Next to Normal?
No, I haven't, but I am
Better hurry.
In love with Alice. You know that, right?
Alice doesn't live here anymore.
Oh. Did you know
what
that?
What does that mean, Alice?
Alice Ripley.
Oh.
I don't know if she's in it anymore. She was in it in the beginning.
I don't know.
I haven't checked the cast.
But they're closing. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. I'm all a flutter today, so I'm going to apologize to our audience ahead of time. I'm so scattered and nothing is, I don't have anything organized.
That's okay. You're allowed to have a day off.
But I have every day off. But Next to Normal is closing. They've posted their closing
notice. The music's really great.
It is great.
I enjoy it. I bought the album, I mean, a long time ago, but.
Yeah, I like it. I listen to it a lot, and there's some really wonderful things. And we've played it here on the program several times, many different shows. So, but that's it's sort of sad that it's closing. A Pulitzer Prize-winning play.
That's pretty cool.
Pulitzer Prize.
I'd like to be a Pulitzer Prize winner.
You're a Pulitzer Prize winner in my book.
I better get on that.
La Cage aux Folles.
Who doesn't love that show?
Well, me, because I've never seen it.
Are you...
No, it's terrible.
That's like someone saying they haven't seen Star Wars, The Sound
of
Music.
I haven't seen it yet, but, you know, of course I know it. Our friend Harvey Fierstein is going into the role of, what's his name? I never remember his name.
You know,
the only role he could play right now.
Yeah, Armand's...
Armand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Next to Normal, I finally found it, closes on January 16th.
Oh, that is coming up.
Yeah. So he's going to play Albin. Albin. That sounds nasty.
Show is phenomenal.
Yeah, so I think it's really cool that he's going into it, because he is, as you know, the writer.
Yes. He will, he'll be fun to see in that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's sort of a cool thing.
I couldn't get myself to go see him in Fiddler when he did that.
I saw it.
I couldn't get myself to go. I think we've touched on it before.
We talked about it here. I was very disappointed in Mr. Fierstein in that.
And I saw him in Hairspray, but I didn't see him in the...
Yeah, I didn't like him, I have to say. But,
You know what? Actually, I have a cool Harvey story. I saw him in Hairspray on the first anniversary after 9/11. It was on 9/11. and the entire cast came out onto the stage, and Harvey read the most beautiful poem. He asked everybody to stay. He read a beautiful poem, and they played about five or six songs, and the entire cast came out into the audience, and everybody just started dancing. And it was just a really amazing experience in New York, and it was just a really amazing experience with the theater like that, because, you know, how many shows have I been to on Broadway and never experienced that? So it was
that
neat.
Is cool.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna have to zip through the rest of our little section this time because we've got a big show today and no time to do it. But I wanted to talk about. Did you hear that the Tonys? They're not at the at Radio City anymore.
That's sad.
They got moved, and they wanted to move, and I forgot the name of the theater, up into my old neighborhood at 175th and Broadway.
Forgot the name of it. Jeez Louise, that's
but they're not there, so it doesn't really matter.
So where is it?
It's going to be at the I just forgot the name of it. Broadway and 75th Street. Hold on. It's
Star.
Lisa, I didn't write it because I know the place so well.
It'll come to you. It's like the library. Somebody checked it out.
Yeah, I'll find it. I don't have anything written. I didn't bring anything written. But it's moving there. It's up on Broadway and 75th Street.
Why is it not at the Beacon? Why is it not Radio City?
Radio City kicked him out.
Well, poo-poo on you, Radio City.
Exactly. So I just want to go over a couple of quick little things, and then we're just going to move on. Colin Quinn's show opened, and the very first review I read was very in line with how I feel about Colin Quinn, which is not very good. but then when I went on and looked at some of the other reviews, he got pretty good reviews. So, which surprised me.
Seinfeld directed it.
Yeah, Seinfeld did direct it. And the review I read said, "Where's Seinfeld?"
Well, so I think Colin Quinn did an interview where he said, they said, "Who's your understudy?" And he goes, "Seinfeld." And Jerry turned around and was like, what?
Speaking of Seinfeld, he's coming here to Austin, Texas.
Oh.
I don't know when. I think it's next month. And I'm going to try to get an interview with him. So everybody cross your fingers.
I am doing jazz hands. Jazz hands. To work.
We love it. All right. Very, very, very quickly. Catch Me If You Can, the new musical.
Yes.
It's going to open in April. Announced its full cast. Norbert Leo Butz. Aaron Tveit. Oh, my God. What are these names?
You don't know Norbert? He was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with John Lithgow.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. You know Norbert.
Yeah.
He's been a few shows.
No, I was saying Tveit. Aaron Tveit. Tveit. I don't know what it is. Pee Wee Herman opened.
Oh, I know. Did you see this? Stephen Sondheim sent him an email.
No, I didn't. What did it say?
Yeah, he said he got this email from Sondheim. He's excited because he was teasing him that his show went in there before Sondheim's show went in there in his own theater. And then they asked Pee Wee what his favorite Broadway show was. And he goes, "I don't know, but it'd definitely be a Sondheim one."
Smart.
And started laughing.
All right. Very, very, very quickly. Let's talk about, I just want to say Merchant of Venice, which we talked about last week. You weren't here. Did very, very well with our friend Al. And what's her name?
Daughter
of Rabe. Lily Rabe got great notices. So I just got taken this show called Spider Baby the Musical.
Yes, what is this?
In Los Angeles. It just seems really fun. It's directed by Helen Acosta. It features book and music by Enrique Acosta. I'm sure they are related somehow.
Possibly.
It's a rock musical, tells the story of a family that suffers from the same degenerative mental disorder which causes the loss of impulse control. When distant relatives learn of the family's condition, they attempt to institutionalize the children and sell their land. So
it's a little light subject matter.
Well, but I just thought that it sort of took...
It's like,
you know, it's Spider-Man, Spider-Baby, you know, it's Spider-everything. So we will end right now, hear a little piece of music from it.
Oh!
Elizabeth, what have I told you about Haiti? It's not nice to hate.
So that was Spider Baby the Musical, which I just love.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So what do you know about the fighting world? I'm sure you like boxing.
I like to play it on the Xbox.
Okay. Even though we're running out of time, I have to tell a very quick story because I know she's listening today. My very good friend Maureen, who was our guest co-host last week, told me that she has a group called the Therapy Sisters, who we love dearly. And she was playing, she told me she was going to play a concert before a boxing match.
Oh.
And I was like really thrilled. So she was, and this was this weekend, and I comes to find out that she was playing at a party where they were going to watch a boxing match on television.
Oh yeah, I watched it this weekend.
Well, and I kept saying, so why didn't they let you, play? Cause she said they played outside where it was really cold. I said, they should have let you play on the boxing ring. And she said we couldn't play on the boxing ring because it was on TV. I said, well, right. So you could have been on the boxing ring. So you would have been on TV. And it wasn't a while till I figured out that they were watching it on TV. Anyway, enough about that, because we have to get moving.
That was a good story, Lisa.
I know. So, Maureen, I don't know. She misrepresented herself. I thought she was bigger than she was. No, she's big in my world. The UT Department of Theater and Dance is presenting its world premiere of a show called Fight. It's about a young woman learning the fine art of boxing, at the same time learning about life and how to live it. On stage, Nicole, is a full boxing ring. How cool is that?
Oh, that's pretty cool, yeah.
And we are very lucky to have the playwright, who is also a student at UT, Kimberly, and also an actor who plays Pappy, Mr. Aaron Alexander. Welcome, you two.
Hello.
So, Kimber, you wrote a thing. Are you a boxer?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just going to have to turn the webcam around so everybody can see you. Because when I think of a boxer, I think of someone that's huge and big and burly and muscles coming out of their ears, and you're not that.
No. Well, I've got my sweatshirt on, so it's a little harder to see.
She's wearing Brooklyn. That scares me. I know what that means.
No, I think that a lot of people have that perception because the common thought that people have when they hear boxing is professional boxing.
Right.
The world of amateur boxing, which is the world that the play lives in mostly, mm-hmm. is very different.
So when we think of boxing in terms of media and television and films and theater, we also think of sort of a dank and dingy world. Is that the world that this play inhabits?
The boxing gym is weathered and very old, mm-hmm. and it's in an old neighborhood. But the people and some of the people in it are rather weathered as well. But there's also, the young people who are the main characters in the play, who are there for various reasons, and their passions, I think, kind of brighten up the space.
Right. And so in the play chronicles a young woman who is learning to fight, correct?
Yes.
So that's also something that's not necessarily stereotypical, although it's becoming more and more mainstream. We hear about female boxers a lot.
Yes, I think that especially in the film world in the past few years, there have been several films that have done very well that have featured female boxers as their protagonists. And definitely if you walk into any boxing gym in the country now, you're going to see a lot of women and young women in there training right alongside the men.
And you wrote this, did you write this as part of a school, because you're a student at UT?
Yes, actually this play was written, I was working in New York over the summer of 2009, and the play was actually written in Brooklyn while I was there for the summer, but it has been during my time as a student in the MFA playwriting program at UT.
Well, and now speaking of you, because your resume is just incredible. When I look at your bio, you've been all over the country, all over the world, and you've got quite a resume.
Well, for, thank you.
For a youngster. What? You're 16 years old, right?
No.
No. Well, but you're certainly young, at least in my opinion. And you've done a lot. You've acted at Seattle Rep, California Shakespeare, Indiana Rep, all over the place. And you were the associate director at the Performing Arts Company in San Diego. So you've been all over the country. That's really incredible.
Oh, thank you.
So are you returning to school at this point, or has this been, have you just done a lot in a few years.
Yes. No, I'm returning to school. I worked as a professional for many years, primarily as an actor, but some as a theater administrator and a director. And I wanted to have time where I was able to focus just on my writing, which is hard to find sometimes out in the real world.
Yeah,
exactly. And is this your first piece that you've seen produced?
No.
So you're an old pro on at the game of having your writing produced.
Well, every time is different, so I feel like every time a play of mine is produced, I'm learning things all over again for that particular production. Okay. So.
And this show opened last weekend.
Yes.
And plays through this weekend, correct?
Yes.
And how did your opening weekend go?
It went very well. The audiences were wonderful. The play was very well received, and people seemed to have a good time.
Okay. And Aaron, tell us about your role.
My role, I play it Poppy.
I'd like to call it Pappy. Can you change it?
we're going to
talk about some rewrites, and that's going to be my first note.
She's quite demanding.
I play the trainer who the main character, Danny, comes and finds, and I just train her in the world of boxing and life. I also trained her father, which I don't want to give away, but
right, we don't want to spoil her. But her father plays a pretty prominent role in the piece, correct?
In her life,
right?
Yeah. And so she finds me because I was her father's trainer, and she's heard that I was the trainer to come to.
Now, did you know about boxing prior to starting this?
Yeah. I'm primarily a martial artist, though, and so I had to reformat my...
That must have been hard to take.
Yeah.
Because that's too... It's similar, but so different.
I like kicking people.
Yeah.
Well, who doesn't, really? Yeah.
That's me. Exactly. I hear you.
And so to get in that world of just using your hands and your body movement only, it was completely different in my head, but I jumped in there. Like everyone else did.
So you're prepared to do a little monologue-y thing,
ma'am.
From that. Can you tell us about what you're going to do?
The monologue happens actually at the very end of the show.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of the, I like to call it the call to arms, the gut check.
The CTA, we call it in the business.
The CTA.
Or the GC.
The GC.
Sorry. I'm into TLAs. Three-letter acronyms.
Oh, man. And so, this speech is pointed at the audience along with the main character to say, if this is what you're going to do, you have to tell yourself you're willing to do it.
Great.
And it's not just the glitz and glam and the money and everything. It's the real rawness of the whole world. And so.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
While you sleep, someone else is training to beat your ass. And that is the simple fact, so you gotta ask yourself one question. Am I willing? That's all. Simple. Are you willing? Are you willing to do what it takes day in, day out, day in, day out? Never gonna quit coming on. You got that in you? 'Cause not many do. People you know, a lot of people, they see some guy coming out the tunnel, entourage a mile deep. Crowds cheering, music's blaring, step in the ring wearing a fancy silk robe. Float over the canvas nice and easy like a Sunday stroll in the park. And people think, hey, I want to do that. But they don't. They don't want to get up at 5 a.m, rain or shine, and run that 4 miles. They don't want to do push-ups until their arms is growing out the floor. They don't want to throw the same punches over and over until those combinations so natural they like taking a breath. That moment in the ring, that fight you see so beautiful like a dance, that fight started the first time that guy put on gloves and said in his heart, I am willing. I will do what it takes, day in, day out. I ain't never gonna quit.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's amazing that we use boxing. Boxing is used in media a lot for an analogy of life and working and fighting to what we all have to do to just live. So that's incredible.
Yeah.
So that's powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful writing. And unfortunately, we're so running out of time already. So tell folks where they can go to get information about the show.
They can go to the website of the UT Department of Theater and Dance.
Okay, and that's and also texasperformingarts.org,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys so much, Kimberly and Aaron Alexander. Thank you all for being on Offstage
thank
and on
you.
The air, and I look
thank
forward
you.
To having you back on.
Thank you. Definitely.
Okay, that was Kimberly and Aaron Alexander of the UT Department of Theater and Dance in their production of Fight, which is playing now through November 21st at the Oscar G. Brockett Theater. For more information, texasperformingarts.org.
I'm not built for learning. I'm built for jabbing and hooking and slipping and crossing, and any day now I'll go pro. Everyone can watch and see the future that waits for me, 'cause God will clear a path for me. And I'll be a name to be known.
Oh, that was great.
That was great.
Okay, I have to talk about the music that we played in between, which is really, it was from a show called...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this.
A Cut Man the Musical. And you know what Cut Man is, right? Because you know about fighting.
I don't know that, though.
Cut Man is the guy that sits in the corner and fixes the cuts the boxer's
cut
faces.
Cut Man. Okay.
Cut Man. And it was back in 2007, Cut Man the Musical. And I don't really know, there wasn't a whole bunch of information about it, and I pulled that music off the interweb. The name of the cuts were Name to Be Known, and when I say to be, I mean
the number.
Number 2 and the letter B, and The Fight from Cut Man the Musical.
So, I had no clue. You're enlightening me today, Lisa.
I know, stick with me, kid. I'm all over the place.
This is wonderful.
So let's talk very briefly. Again, you know, one day I'm going to plan this so that we're not like rushed for time, but that's never
there's just
happen.
So much going on
we
all
just
the
like
time.
To talk,
so much
too.
To do, and we like to talk. So
very quickly, I'm just going to go through some of the things that are closing, and there's a lot of things closing this week.
Yes, there is.
All Shook Up at the Main Stage Theater at Texas State.
Yep.
At Home at the Zoo at the Off Center. Death of and the Maiden at the Gemini Playhouse is closing on the 20th. Dusk, who was here, that's the improvised tween
yes.
erotica.
I was telling people about that this weekend.
I love that.
Yeah, I did too.
Educating Rita, which I really wish I'd gotten them in here. They close on the 21st. They're at Austin Playhouse. Of course, Fight, that we just listened to. They're quickie. They're closing this weekend as well. Let's see. Vaudeville at the Baker, and I don't know why I didn't see this, at the Gaslight, in Lockhart. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And I really
closing.
Wanted to get them on. It's closing next
I
week.
I know.
And I've heard mixed things about it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. But
it's a hard
I wanted
piece.
To see it. It's a hard piece.
It's
and
a
it's,
hard
it's
piece.
It's Albie, and we love Albie. The criticism that I heard specifically, and this was just in a conversation with someone, is that they didn't play enough of the comedy in it. It was a little too dark.
Too dry and too dark.
Too dark. So, which can be really tough with Albie because that gets
it's,
really dark.
Yeah. How low can you go?
How low can you go? here's a show called The Yellow Boat that's closing at the Jesse H. and Mary Gibbs Jones Theater. About a Scandinavian folk song sets the stage for the true story of a man who was born with congenital hemophilia and died in 87 at the age of 8 of AIDS-related complex. So that's doesn't sound really happy, but there it is. And then some things that are coming that I just want to highlight.
Yes.
And then jump in if you need to.
Do you have
to.
Ed Asner on there?
I do. I do have Ed Asner.
Okay.
And I'm gonna try to get him on the show, too.
Oh. More jazz hands.
Jazz hands. He is doing FDR, one-man show,
yes.
at the Paramount.
I love him.
Me too, Ed.
Ed. We love you, Ed. You want to come on, Ed.
So here are some things that I'm hoping to highlight here. We have A Christmas Carol at the Austin Playhouse. Must be Christmas time. Company is coming to the Salvage Vanguard.
That's a great show.
Well, who doesn't like it?
It's your man.
Sandland Diaries, which we'll be featuring here next week at Zach. A Tune of Christmas, of course, our very good Jason Williams, who was on the show.
Yes.
And White Christmas, the musical at the New Braunsvilles Theater.
That
which I must get them on
is
the show.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Isn't it a great
snow,
show?
Snow.
Oh. Snow.
My mom's at home going, snow.
love that music. But I love, and we've talked about him here, I love Danny Kaye. Like crazy, I love that man. So anyway.
Oh, we're going to have a white Christmas party.
We
should go see it and watch the movie and have some hot chocolate and sing about snow.
Good. Well, we are going to listen to some words from our sponsor and come right back, okay?
We're the Kathy Dunn Hamrick Dance Company. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
Woohoo! That was like stereo.
That was so much fun when we did that.
That was hilarious.
So actually, they're coming to town. They're opening up something new soon, too, but I don't know what it is, so I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to launch right into the next piece.
Launch, baby.
We're like, we need to have time for our very good friends that are coming in a little later, because we want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Cirque Dreams. Have you seen them before?
I've seen some of the Cirque shows. I've not seen Cirque Dreams.
Well, not... Cirque, you're thinking Cirque du Soleil?
Yeah.
Okay, no. Cirque Dreams is the name of this company.
Oh, no. I haven't seen
it. And they do it well. You'll
well,
listen.
Don't I just feel I'm out of it today.
You're about to learn a little bit, so you'll have to listen to the next little piece that we've got pre-recorded. Anyway, Cirque Dreams Illuminations, it blends the world-renowned imagination, critically acclaimed theater innovation, and breathtaking presentation, all these oons, into a story that illuminates a city of everyday people. Artists illuminate objects, balance on wires, leap structures, and redefine flight. There are urban acrobats, dazzling choreography, and brilliant illusions, all ignited by special effects performed to a stylish original score of jazz, salsa, ballroom, pop, and trendy beats from the streets. Stuart and I sat down with Eric Alden of Cirque Dreams last week. And did an interview and right before they were about to hold auditions for some local people that were going to be on. And when you listen to the interview, we thought that we were going to air this piece last week, so we're a week off. So just know that going in. So let's go ahead and give it a listen. We are here talking to Eric Alden in the studio. He is the Eric, what are you? The marketing director for
the marketing director and with the casting department.
And the casting department of Cirque Dreams, who are on their like zillion city tour of the United States and coming here to Austin.
Yay. That's about right, yeah.
So we're airing this on Monday, but yesterday, which would be Sunday, which is in the future for us, in the past for our audience, I'm confused.
Okay, you've confused even me now.
Yeah, but tell us what happened on Sunday, which is in 3 days from now.
Well, we held
yesterday.
Well, we held our Runaway with Cirque Dreams contest, trying to find a local talented person to actually star in Cirque Dreams Illumination when it comes to the Long Center.
Yeah. Did you find someone?
We found.
Are they great?
Is it me? They're amazing. it could be you. We want to keep it a secret right now, so we're not going to tell anybody exactly who it was. It's been a really tough decision because there's so many talented people in.
Well, actually, speaking of that, so you are auditioning someone, and again, by now you've probably picked someone. Will we be able to announce this person on our show?
Certainly, yeah. Because we're hoping to be able to find this person, and you know, we don't have that quick of a turn. We actually do have a quick turnaround time because the show is here in a few weeks. But we really want, you know, we're looking for a talented dancer, singer. So anybody we can find, and we would love to be able to surprise them over
Eric,
here.
Cool. Right now, I just want you to say and just tell folks, and the winner is, and then we'll cut in who it is later.
And the winner of the Runaway with Cirque Dreams contest is
Aaron Wagner and Sky
great.
Van.
Congratulations.
Yay. And what will Aaron
be
and
doing?
Sky in the show?
Well, we're going to costume them. We're going to teach them their part in the show. And then we're going to make their dreams come true, live out on the Long Center stage here the week of Thanksgiving.
Yay. Awesome. So now let's talk about the show. Yeah. Cirque Dreams, and I have not seen a Cirque A Dreams show as of yet, but I did look at it on the interweb and I love the feel of it. When we hear Cirque, we're sort of programmed to think of that other Cirque now, and which is a very European sort of existential kind of feel. But you marry the European circus with more of an American culture, don't you?
Exactly. Like our shows are more, you get the European circus artistry, but it's mixed with Broadway theatrics. So I actually think of it as and describe it as where the choreography in a normal Broadway show is actually the acrobatics in our show. Mm-hmm. So it just becomes this completely different thing with the audience, and it's entertaining to children, adults, and grandparents. And it's just watching somebody do something that you, I don't think any of us have ever imagined a human could do. And it's certainly, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, when you're looking at some of the other, when people think of what this is, they might think it's high European art or something like this, but it's something that is enjoyable at
just
all ages.
Sheer entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
And in your promotional,
so up my alley.
It's what?
It's so up my alley. I would love this.
What's not up your alley, Stuart? Come on, let's just be very clear about this.
Well, I also have a incredible affinity for the circus. So,
oh yeah.
You know,
did you watch any of that circus PBS
that's
show?
Right. I have to sort of share a little story with Stuart, which sort of surprised me. I am on the more like I'm liking the European style circus rather mm-hmm. than the American style circus more, because my little heart goes out to the little poor little animals. But when Ringling Brothers was here, I get a phone call from Stuart Moulton, mm-hmm. like a giddy child saying, "Come to the circus with me today." And I went, "You're kidding, right?" And he said, "No. Oh, come." So you were like truly, truly.
Oh, I
excited.
Love the circus. And I love trapeze. I coach flying trapeze. I help with Trapeze Austin here in Austin. So I love to fly. And going to the circus, it's like being a kid again. The adults, you know, at a traditional circus mm-hmm. enjoy, probably not as much as I do, but they enjoy, but they're there for the kids. But that's what's great about what Cirque Dreams does, is that it really is entertainment for the whole family.
And it is. And what I saw, this performance has a sort of an urban feel.
Yeah, exactly. It takes place in the fictional city of Illumination. That's where the title comes from. And
I used to vacation there with my family.
Oh, yeah, it's mm-hmm. beautiful, yeah. You know? It,
mm-hmm. And then when the drugs wore off.
Did they leave the light on for you?
They did.
Exactly. That's where all the real lighting cues come in our show, is when the drugs, when they wear off. Yeah.
Now, one of the things that we were talking about beforehand is are some of the performers in it. Now, can you say?
Yeah, there's many performers from 11 different countries in our show, but one of them is an American that probably most people know that watch So You Think You Can Dance.
So you think you can dance.
If I could remember I can type the letters well, I just can't say them so great out loud, but So You Think You Can Dance, Popper from a few seasons ago, Robert Moraine, mm-hmm. people might remember him. The judges were saying that, you know, he was their favorite dancer of the year. He ended up not staying on the show just because he's a popper. He doesn't know how to
do all the other stuff. Yeah.
But they brought him back at the end of the year. He was also on America's Best Dance Crew or mm-hmm. Best Dance Crew on NBC or something as well. And he's been in IKEA commercials. But now you can see him right here at the Long Center stage, and it's just amazing to watch the things he can do.
I took a look at some of the stuff that's going on. I know we have some balancing acts. Where are some of the acts highlights other than the popper?
Yeah, so what Cirque Dreams Illumination is everyday ordinary people doing extraordinary things. So each character is kind of tied to a realistic thing that's happening in your city. So it takes place beneath an above ground train, kind of just these people walking around doing their normal daily things. So the first thing that happens is the electricity goes out. So we have to get the electrical people out there to fix things. Well, instead of him just climbing up the pole and fixing it, he walks across the wire as well. So we have a slack wire. But other than just these regular people doing things, there's also the street cones come to life and they move around. The detour signs turn into contortionists because, like, you know, it's like, look out for the winding road. Well, the winding road starts to move and you have to move with it.
Contortionists creep me out, I have to say.
Well, it depends on the contortionist. I have to say, there were some that I saw, the little, and the many times are Asian, very young looking girls. They sort of skeeved me out a little.
No,
bit.
Yeah. It just makes
ours
my back hurt.
Unfortunately, are Mongolian, so they might creep you out, but they're actually not very creepy. The four of them work together. It's very artistic looking. Opposed to, I've been seeing them a lot lately in some other shows, or maybe just on TV, like on mm-hmm. the reality shows or something. It's they get to the creepiness now, and you're like, oh, but this is more. Theirs is a lot of strength to do with it, and they also mm-hmm. work on a cube. A routine in the show, which is these spinning gigantic cubes that are in the air, and they're doing these great tableaus, and it's beautiful to see them.
Cool.
Just kind
now
of
you also
around.
Have singers who sing on stage as well. Correct?
Yeah, we the whole story is kind of brought together by this news reporter who's looking for the next hot story. So we do have a live female singer in the show, and she was just seen in the Rent tour as Joanne. So she's people might have seen her.
Oh, I don't know if she was here.
I don't know if Rent was here recently.
It was just here.
It just came through.
So she was
awesome.
If you like Joanne from Rent, you'll love her in Cirque Dreams Illumination.
Oh, great.
I'm not gonna even attempt to say her name. It's like she's an American and she has the most difficult name in the cast.
Yeah, then why even bother? And it'll get give folks a reason to look up.
I know. Look in the playbill, you know, that'll be great. And then we also have a live saxophone player on stage, and based on what we pick, we may have another musician.
So there's a narrative.
Yeah, so the through line is essentially the daily life in Cirque Dreams Illumination. So they kind of are looking at the different things that happen in a city each day. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, there's like the beautiful model that everyone's kind of pining after, and she's going, the nerdy guy's too quiet to say anything to her, but then he comes out of his shell later on. And
that's like Stuart and me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys should act that out for us.
Yeah, well, we do.
I'm the gorgeous model.
And I'm the nerdy guy. That's the way it works. Life is a circus, so to speak. One of the things that I love about the circus, and the things that I will say about the traditional American circus and Cirque du Soleil and other European-style circuses that I've seen, is the sort of the immersiveness of it for the audience. Mm-hmm. Do you get the same kind of feel here, or is it more presentational for you guys, since you're on a more traditional type of stage?
Yeah, it's different when you're on a proscenium stage.
Right.
People are so used to seeing these things, whether it be at an arena or in a tent now. And when we come in doing it on, you know, where you have this fourth wall, essentially.
Correct.
But people have actually commented on how intimate it actually feels, because when you normally are there, you could, even if you're in the front row at an arena, the thing may be happening right in the middle, and you are still maybe 150 feet away, maybe more, maybe less. But with this, I mean, I was at the Long Center, and for the first time, it doesn't look like there's a bad seat in the house.
It's a wonderful house.
For being such a large theater, it's still very intimate looking.
Because it's not a real deep theater. It goes higher, but not so deep, which makes everyone feel closer to the stage.
Which is the thing about Stuart.
What's that?
He goes high, but not so deep. Sorry, Stuart. You know, I get him when I can. So tell folks, sorry. You know, this is the problem when people come to be on our show. It really is about Stuart and me.
Okay. Some of it's just for us, folks. Yeah.
That's okay.
Exactly. So tell us where folks can go to get information about the show.
They can go to our page at CirqueProductions.com or check us out on Facebook at Facebook.com/CirqueDreams. But if they want to come and hear some information directly about how to buy tickets, they can go to thelongcenter.org.
Right.
The Long Center.
The Long Center.
That's THE. Longcenter.org. I don't know how to spell long or center.
And you guys are opening here on the 23rd of November.
Yeah, we're here for 8 performances only. And last time we were here with our show that came direct from Broadway was Cirque Dreams Jungle Fantasy.
Right.
It did not have any real animals in it, just like this one doesn't. We're looking out for the PETA folks out there. but that show sold very, very well, and it was difficult to get tickets at the end. You know, we're hoping that we can entertain audiences the same way again.
Great. Well, and I'm sure you can. I'm so happy that you took time to stop by. And once again,
thank you, Eric.
That's yeah. And I want to wish you the best of luck tomorrow, which will of course be in the past when we play this. Yeah. And we'll be able to once again congratulate insert name here on their lucky entree into the circus.
Definitely.
Yay. So thank you so much for coming. And I always have my musical underscoring with me wherever I go. And best of luck with the entire run.
Thank you very much.
Stuart is the best underscore ever.
Stuart is.
So just because I tried to zip it in there in real time, I would like to congratulate Aaron Wagner and Sky Van Vliet for winning that. And Sky Van Vliet is a 7-year-old.
Oh.
Nope, sorry, a 12-year-old, 7th grader.
Still?
Oh, my God, how cool is
that? That
is cool.
I was like, what an experience.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's Cirque Dreams plays November 23rd through the 28th at the Long Center. For more information, folks can go to longcenter.org.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So we're not doing music interlude right now, which I normally do. We're going to go right into the next piece because I want
to. Moving right along.
So before I do this, let me just introduce or give this little piece of verbiage. The slightly intoxicated, morally bankrupt patrons of the Night Cloud are putting on a play about their idol, Bale. Bale is a mysterious figure said to have roamed the forests, inns and bars, leaving nothing but poetry, destruction, and a hefty bar tab in its wake. The perfect idol for a band of hooligans in a seedy cabaret, wouldn't you say?
It sounds like my father.
I think it's written about your father.
I kid you not, Chaz.
Anyway, so we're talking about the show Bale, which is playing now at the Salvage Vanguard. And we had a, if you remember correctly from last week, we had Susan Pollock French, our wonderful award winner. Her and I went to go see it together. And although we're not going to get her on the phone to talk about it, I did want to play this little piece that we did right before the show.
So let's go ahead and very nice.
Play it. We're going to go, Sherry, to cut number 7. Cut number 7. Just press play.
Don't do anything yet.
I don't want them to get upset.
Just a second, everybody.
I don't want anyone to hear my voice.
I'm here with our ticket winner, Susan Pollock French. Hi, Susan.
Hello, Lisa.
We're also here with Dr. David Robinson. Hello, David.
Hello. How are you doing?
We're here in the lobby before... You know, I have no idea how to pronounce this. Baal? Baal?
Well, in the
you
Bible, probably... it's pronounced Bale.
Bale. We're here at Bear Talk Breaks Bale. And Dustin Wills and some of the performers are going to be on in just a little while. But they are sponsored by my favorite gin. I can't say the name, but the initials are Bombay Sapphire. And just so that everybody is aware, I don't know if you can hear that because it's plastic, but I'm drinking a Bombay Collins. And so, Susan, are you looking forward to the show?
Yes, very much.
David, are you looking forward to the show?
Oh, I'm incredibly excited about it.
Okay, well, we will see y'all later. So, clearly,
was I in Jersey when this is going on?
You were in Jersey when this was going on.
That's hilarious.
We had a grand old time drinking gin and watching this show. And I have to say that it was just a wonderful...
Were you sipping on gin and juice?
Yeah, I'm not going to give away a lot because I want to... We were. Anyway, Bale... is German playwright Bertolt Brecht's very first play. And Paper Chairs, theater company here, along with the patrons of the Night Cloud, have produced an incredible production, which obviously I went to go see. And here to talk to us about it is the director, Dustin Wills, as well as two of the performers, Kelly Bland and Gabriel Luna. Hi, you guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you got to get right up on that microphone, Kelly.
I'll pull it for both of you guys. Gabriel will share. I'll pull it over.
So I have to say that that was just an awesome production.
Thank you so much.
And I have to give a huge amount of credit to you, Dustin. You know, I've seen several things that you've done, and as much as I want to not like you,
so kind.
I have this really sneaking suspicion that you are a genius of a director.
That's very nice. Thank you. But I swear it goes to a lot of people who have been working on the show. We've been working on this show for about 2 months total.
Right.
So.
And it's pretty clear that when you walk in, you're fully immersed in this production.
Mm-hmm.
You've set it as a play within a play, and I'm going to go on the assumption that that wasn't in the original text.
That wasn't in the original text, but it allows for so much opportunity to play with all the Brecht's ideas about alienation and I think it really sets us up for a lot of fun transitions and really gets the rock and roll into the piece, where I think a lot of the time it can sort of become too heavy. But by really making light of a lot of it and really always being aware that you're in a theater and that everything's fake and it's a sham, there's a very interesting sort of interaction that's going on between the audience and the performers.
Right, and I don't want to give anything away, but you do use the players of the piece, the play within the play, to change the scenery, and it's very playful.
Mm-hmm.
And Rompy, but there are other times where it comes out of a very serious, poignant section.
Absolutely.
where they become very serious and poignant, and yet it does exactly what you said. Every now and then it just gives a little nod. We go, oh, yeah, these are players. So it was really an all-encompassing experience for the audience. So
right.
Hats off. Even though I'm not wearing a hat.
I like that all-encompassing experience.
Well, there is no fourth wall in this
play. I was about
to
say, it sounds like you took down the fourth wall.
And as a matter of fact, for some 10 lucky patrons that pay a little extra,
mm-hmm.
They actually become part of the play, right? Do you want to talk about that?
They do. They you can get on-stage table seats, and our wonderful folks at Bombay Sapphire just donated some bottles of gin to those tables, which absolutely free.
Let me just clarify something for you. They're not donating bottles of gin. They're donating bottles of sapphire.
Absolutely.
There's a very big difference.
But it's nice. I really wanted to really embrace the cabaret feel. I mean, if I had it my way, I would have taken out all the seats and everybody would be sitting at the table.
Well, Dustin, you better get on that.
Well, I don't know. You know, as an audience member that did not sit in the expensive seats, there was something sort of fun about being apart from them,
mm-hmm.
And watching them. And And I think you've taken some chances in the piece in dealing with sexuality.
Yes.
And I don't want to give anything away, but it's really you've made some statements, I think, with the piece.
I think it's very important to the piece. Well, I get amazed sometimes how shocked people get about sexuality in this country, especially. And I was talking with a woman who came and saw the show who's from Germany, who's not been here too long, Rose. And she said that this play, which is huge, which is super heavy and intense and just all over the place, is required reading for eighth graders in Germany.
My old roommate's from Germany, and you know, discussing and talking. And she grew up on the east side of Berlin, so even hearing, I was like, wow, I feel sheltered.
And so I think there's a real there's a cultural thing that's going on here that I'm just shocked how people get really uncomfortable and people start to say things or like the way people feel about
It's interesting seeing nudity, and again I can't give anything away, but there are some interesting taboos that we in this country think are okay. Mm-hmm. Some of us, and certain taboos that we in this country don't think are okay. And it was very interesting, and I'm going to talk to you when the microphones are off about some of my experiences around that and noticing some of the audience members. But it's really sort of a very cool thing. If you think of theater as a visceral experience, you've done that.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah, and you've educated people at the same time. I think even the people that may be a little bit uncomfortable about some of it, and let's just say, and you say it right at the top, there is nudity in this. Mm-hmm. And tastefully done, I might add.
Thank you.
Sherry just pointed to Gabriel and said him. And I do have to say, Gabriel, that when Susan and I talked about her coming on, she asked if you specifically were going to be here.
I'll take that as a yes.
Gabriel's blushing.
So, Gabriel, let's switch over to you.
Why don't you get him to wave for the webcam?
Yeah, could you wave to the webcam? Gabriel is actually naked right now.
There's not one. We just talk about it all the time like we're fancy.
You and I talked before we went on the air. I mean, this seems like a really fun role. He's such a tragic character, and so he just doesn't seem to know himself on so many different levels. But he's very flamboyant. It seems like really a good, fun part to play, is it?
It's terribly fun. No, you're right. I think he understands who he is a lot more at the start, on the onset. But as he gets, you know, as he
slides
himself as much as he does.
Yeah.
And then when others start to hurt him, he really, really thrashes against it. You know,
right.
No one deserves to hurt me. I shouldn't hurt with anything that isn't self-afflicted. It's very fun. And then it moves into this where the patrons of the nightclub may be losing a little bit of control of the monster that they invited.
Right. There was one section, and that was the one section as a theater goer. There was a point where I got very confused, mm-hmm. and never really recovered from that confusion.
Right.
But then I was able to find myself back into the narrative. But we left the narrative for a little second.
Yes, there's a moment in the show where we really want to try and communicate that these bar patrons have invited this character into, like, they're putting on this play and they're idolizing this guy, Bale. And at one point in the show that they lose control of the play.
Right.
The play sort of starts to take over. And so there is this moment that I think confusion is perfect for that, where it's sort of like, I can't understand anymore what is the framework and what is the play and who's playing and what is real, like really misunderstanding. And then it does, it's sort of like, reels itself back in, and then
right. Did y'all approach this in concept as sort of a collaborative effort? I mean, that's what when you said you rehearsed this for a long time, it sounds to me like you really approached this with a view of collaborating.
Well, I think what we did was is we rehearsed the show for a full. Well, we sat down for 2 weeks and just read the play and talked about every scene.
You never got up for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, we just
lazy
read
people.
And
that seems. How did you eat?
It was insane. Yeah, just never. We hit
You're
ourselves.
Slave
in a dark
driver
room,
over there.
With flashlights and read the script. But
red wine.
No, we just sat and argued about everything and we're trying to figure it out and understand it. And we were talking about the larger ideas of Brecht and everybody was just bringing in bits of research. And it was just, and then at one point we were just like, all right, enough, time to get on our feet. And then so we were rehearsing it for about 2 or 3 more weeks. And then I think I had a mental breakdown in my, because originally we were just doing it with a pretty much a bare stage with a bunch of leaves on stage, and there was all this sweeping going on, and the framework wasn't in the show, and I was just like, what is going on? I was like, this is not right. And I feel like everybody sort of felt that a little bit, and so one day I was just in my room, and I was like, ah! And I walked into the living room, and I live with one of the actresses in the show, Adrienne Michler, and I was like, what would happen if it was like a bunch of drunk people at a bar putting on this play, and it was like a bar that they set up in the middle of the forest? She was like, that's ridiculous. And then 5 seconds later, she was like, wait a minute, no, it's not. And so then I called my set designer who had already had the model done. And I was like, I'm changing everything. Called the costume designer, called the lighting designer, ran over to their houses immediately on this Saturday and was like, okay, we need to do this, this, this. And then they started, then all of a sudden the ideas started to just fly out of everyone's mouths. It's like, oh, well, then we need a curtain and we need the dressing rooms on stage. We need the stage lights. And then the costume designer is,
the
oh, well, now I can
moment.
Make sense of these piecemeal pieces and all the actors are sharing pieces and all, and then telling the actors. And all of a sudden everything just started to organically build on its own. Whereas before I was in there, and I swear to God, I would spend 2 hours moving tables around being like, this feels wrong. This is like, and everyone's just like annoyed and staring at me.
And this is the cool thing about the creative process, which I just love. So Kelly, your character plays a really important role as well. And you do it superbly, of course.
Thank you.
this is a little sort of different from the things that I've seen you in before, because you've always sort of played a quirky kind of fun thing, and this wasn't that at all.
Yeah, I normally do comedy.
Right, so this was against
primarily.
Type.
Yeah, which
how'd that feel?
Something I appreciate about Dustin. He always gives me things. He's like, I don't want you to look like you always look.
Every now and then, Dustin's an okay guy.
but this is definitely a dramatic role, and I think the last time I did anything like that was about 3 years when we did A Thought in Three Parts.
Uh-huh.
So it's something that I'm not comfortable with, and I have to really think about and work on and take it in. And it's very different than comedy, which is all about timing, and
right.
I feel very comfortable with that. So Sophie is the writing of the scenes that she's in were very difficult for me to kind of figure out her place in it or why she was doing what she did. And I think what I liked is that Dustin really, he allowed me to be funny at least a little bit in the first two. But it's a very different kind of funny than I've ever played before.
Different is good.
Yeah. It's really nice getting to just be like, what? You know, let your guts out a little bit every night.
But you brought fun. You brought a lot of humanity to the role, which I really just loved. You were approachable and not approachable at the same time. So I thought you did an awesome job.
Thank you.
So tell folks, darn it, we're running out of time. Tell folks where they can get more information about the show.
Our website online is www.paperchairs.com, and you just click the upcoming tab, and it has all the information about Bale, and the tickets are there as well.
Right. Now, this is not necessarily suitable for kids, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not going to want to bring your family.
Absolutely not.
And I must say, in full disclosure, it's not short.
It's not a short play. It's Brecht. So you're in there for...
So you're there for a while.
You are.
Well worth it. You're totally immersed in everything. So it's dynamite. I want to thank you all for coming on. I wish we had like the whole hour to sit and chat because there's so much. There's so much that I would want to dissect about this with you guys.
We can do it later.
I would love that.
I'm off at 5.
So excellent. Dustin, Kelly, Gabriel, thank you so much for coming on
thank
the show.
You. Thank you. Lisa.
That was Dustin Wills, Kelly Bland, and Gabriel Luna, all of Bertolt Brecht, which I'm sure I'm not pronouncing very well. Baal, which I like to call Baal. That's playing now through November 28th at the Salvage Vanguard. For more information, www.paperchairs.com.
Whilst his mother's womb contained the growing bough, even then the sky was waiting quiet and pale, naked, young, immensely marvelous, like Baal loved it when he came to us. That same sky remained.
Oh my God, how wonderful was that?
That was good.
And this we're listening to in the background, David Bowie, who he's got like 5 cuts from a film that was when? In the 80s sometimes. But
like, don't get me started, Bowie's my favorite. Oh my.
Okay, we can't talk about it. Sherry Mills, our apprentice slash wonderful person extraordinaire, is here.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Sherry.
Sherry. I had totally meant to allow Sherry to speak at the opening thing, but I got preoccupied.
You just got carried away.
I got carried
what
away.
What a surprise.
So, Sherry, thank you once again for another wonderful thing.
My pleasure.
Sherry is steeped in the film world, runs Real Women, R-E-E-L, Women, here
right.
in town. And we'll be
not
doing...
Not just for women.
It's not just for women.
Sherry makes me smile. You do.
I make some people cry, though.
Well, you make me smile, so that's
thank
okay.
God. Thank right. God you don't do that here. So... for more information about our show, where can folks go, Nicole?
They can go to offstageandontheair.com. They can go to koop.org. They can also go onto our Facebook
page. Facebook
page.
Will you guys please like us?
Chat and talk and...
Like us and talk. You know what? I keep saying this. I would love to get some feedback from our listeners.
I'd love to get some feedback. So we need to get some like trivia questions or something going, some interaction. Let's,
we're
going to
get some interaction
going. Let's talk about that.
All right. Well, thank you for another week. And I must say that Nicole is with us now for the next several months.
I am.
Yay.
I quickly have to say to my niece, hello, Morgan. I love you. She wanted
you too,
to
Morgan.
Listen. Yes, I said Aunt Lisa would say hello. Could say hello. Hilarious. Okay.
You can check us out at offstageonair.com, where you can download the show, see playlists and links to our guests. And please friend us on Facebook at Facebook/offstageandontheair. Stand by for Common Thread with Thor Armbruster coming up next. Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. See you, folks.